Well, this evening marks the 8th year anniversary of my pastorate here at Calvary South Austin. And with every anniversary, I like to share the vision that God has given me for our church so that you can see what the Lord has shown me, and then as a result, so that we can all head in the same direction. You see, if we were all headed in different directions, if we were all just kind of scattered to our own directions, then we would probably fail to accomplish what the Lord was actually leading this church to do. And so I should begin by pointing out that as I talk about vision tonight, I'm not necessarily talking about ocular vision, which is seen through our eyes. But instead, I'm talking about spiritual vision, which is grasped within our spirit and even within our mind's eye. Or in other words, I'm talking about a spiritual revelation which is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. And so with this as our focus, I'd like you to begin by opening up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And as you open your Bible to Acts 2, I should point out that our God is a God who loves to give vision. He loves to give vision to those that he's called to lead. To give you an example of that, I'll share several with you from the Bible. First of all, I should remind you that the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he encouraged Abram about his offspring and about his inheritance and about everything that he was going to be calling him to do. And so the Lord was leading Abram through visions. Not only that, but the Lord also spoke to Jacob, but at that point in time he was renamed Israel. And he spoke to Israel with visions in the night in order to encourage him to go down to Egypt. And so he led Israel to Egypt through visions in the night. The young boy named Samuel was given a vision and even a prophecy concerning the judgment that would come upon Eli. The prophet Isaiah was given a vision concerning the judgment of both Judah and Jerusalem. The Spirit of God took Ezekiel into the temple's inner court through a spiritual vision. The prophet Daniel received many visions about the end time. And if you just go through the book of Daniel, you'll be blown away about all the visions that Daniel received from the Lord. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, he had a vision in the temple. He was serving there in the temple. It was his turn to serve. And he had a vision there regarding the ministry of his son. God spoke to Ananias in a vision and told him about the way he would heal this new convert named Paul. Cornelius, the godly Roman centurion, was given a vision, and this vision led him to send for the apostle Peter, who was at this point in time in Joppa. And at that same point in time in Joppa, well, Peter fell into a trance and had 3 visions of a sheep filled with unclean animals coming down from heaven. And during this vision, he understood that what God had called unclean was now clean. And then as he came out of this trance, as he came out of this vision, he realized that there were Gentiles there who were asking him to come to Cornelius' house. And that's when the Lord was like, hey, this is what the vision was about. Paul had visions. There was one that which directed him to Macedonia, which resulted in a wonderful ministry to those in Macedonia. A lot of visions there. And this is just a scratch on the surface of all the biblical stories which reveal the way that the Lord directs his people with visions which he gives to his chosen leaders in order to direct them into his will. And listen, not only did the Lord direct his people with supernatural vision during the days of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, but he's still giving supernatural vision to those that he's called to lead and oversee the church. One reason why I'm so certain of this is because this is exactly what Peter was telling us here in Acts chapter 2. Now, with this in mind, look with me there at Acts 2. I want to begin reading at verse 17. There Peter declares, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Now, according to this text, if you're seeing visions right now, then you're a young man. And if you're dreaming dreams, then you're old. So I'll let you figure out which of those two you are. But in these verses here, we find the Apostle Peter, he's actually quoting an Old Testament prophecy. It's from the prophet Joel. And he's telling the people here who had gathered together in order to see, hey, what's all this commotion about? And he's saying, hey, look, these are the last days, and the Lord's going to do something incredible. He's going to do something incredible, and he's going to do it through the ministry of Christ's church. And this ministry would stem from the visions and the dreams that the Lord would use to direct his people into the future. And based on this prophecy, I'd like to present you with a broad brush picture of the vision that the Lord has given me for Calvary South Austin. And as we begin to consider the vision of this church, well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And as you turn to Romans 12, I should point out that the Lord has given me a vision for creating a fellowship of believers who are really knowledgeable about God's Word. Now, this isn't to suggest that I don't want there to be great worship at this church, because I do. I want there to be great worship here. But we have to understand that true worship comes from a knowledge of who God is. When we begin to really discover who God is, then worship is just going to flow from us. When we get a picture of who God is, what can we do but worship Him? And so my desire for this fellowship is that we would be a body of believers who know God's Word. Because as we know God's Word, we get to know God. And as we get to know God, we will worship Him. It's for this reason, though, that I've commit myself to teaching the Bible line upon line and verse upon verse. You see, it really doesn't help you to grow, and it doesn't help me to grow if I'm just always teaching my favorite verses. I mean, there's some verses in the Bible that are just sweet, sweet verses. They tell us everything that we want to hear. The Lord has these thoughts about us to give us a future and a hope. And every Sunday I could just talk about the future and the hope and the better life that we can have now. And that would be fun, right? Every Sunday it's just this encouraging message and we leave all happy and giddy and yay, God, He's so awesome. But then there's verses in the Bible that talk about chastisement and punishment and the need to be holy and those tough verses that no one really chooses to teach those verses. And there's a lot of churches that they'll never go to those verses, and the reason why is because no one's going to leave happy and giddy and want to come back next Sunday. But then those pastors, they end up doing a disservice to their flock, because while they might focus on all the happy, happy, joy, joy verses, they fail to impart those challenging verses that encourage us to a life of holiness. Therefore, if I just get up and teach my favorite verses every Sunday, then it doesn't help any of us to become well-rounded believers. If I'm constantly focusing on the topics that I enjoy, well then, would we ever really grow into the believers that God would have us to grow into? Therefore, rather than just becoming a program-based church where I go through a popular series that everyone else in the world is going through, I choose to present you every Sunday and every Wednesday with the full counsel of God's Word. That way we can be exhorted, we can be challenged, we can be changed by the power of God's Word. That's my vision for this church, that we would be a body of believers who get to know God through His Word, so that we might worship Him accordingly. Well, not only that, but the Lord has also given me a vision for this church, which includes a passion for missions. And let me qualify that, because the Lord has given me a passion for local missions. Now, this is not to suggest that I'm opposed to all of the great mission works that are happening throughout the world. There are just too many to name. There are many wonderful missions programs that are happening all throughout the world. I'm really happy to hear about it. However, I firmly believe that we live in an unreached city. We live in a city that is largely unreached. Just case in point, last year there were a little over 51,000 students enrolled at the University of Texas. 51,000 students. That's a big campus. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of these students are unbelievers. Some of the Aggies here tonight might think that. But I'm guessing that there are some Christians at the University of Texas. However, I also spend time down there witnessing to students, and here's what I come across mostly: atheists, agnostics, New Agers, and even those who are too drunk to care. Reuben and I went out last night witnessing at the University of Texas, and several of the people that we came across were drunk Tuesday night. Students. And one guy goes, "Man, I'm just too trashed to pay attention right now." I was like, "Yeah, you are." As a matter of fact, a recent UT Student Health Center survey showed that 98% of students said that their peers drink alcohol. 98% of those polled said, "Yep, my friends are all drinking." Now, most students are under the age, you know? So how is it that we have this campus that's full of drunks? It's college life. It's overlooked. It's what they do. That being the case, listen, we have a college campus in 2012, 51,000 students, and the majority of them, well, they're just down there drinking and partying and doing their thing, not too concerned about who Jesus is and what he's done. As a matter of fact, as we interacted with students last night, and we've done this once a week for several weeks now, to get someone to stop and care about a discussion about Jesus Christ is one of the most difficult things that you can do down there. They don't care. And listen, there are thousands and thousands of kids on campus who actually think that they're Christians simply because they went to church as a child. I can't even tell you how many people that the minute we tell them that we're talking about Jesus Christ, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "Well, how do you get to heaven?" They don't know. They're a Christian, but they don't know anything about how to get to heaven. They can't tell you the gospel message. Now, can you be a Christian and not know the gospel message? I don't think so. Because you have to accept the gospel message in order to become a Christian. If you don't know the gospel message, and you think you're a Christian, chances are you're probably not. Otherwise, you'd know the gospel message. You would cling to it like a life raft. And yet, I can't even tell you how many kids I've met down there who say, "I'm a Christian." They don't know what the gospel message is. This leads me to believe that many of our so-called Christian kids at the University of Texas, they don't really know the Jesus that they may have heard about growing up in the church that mom and dad took them to. Not only that, but listen, almost 10% of the 51,000 students who were enrolled at UT in 2012, about 10% of them came from another country. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody that comes from another country is lost. What I am saying, though, is that within this group of 5,000-plus international students, many, many of them are Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, people who adhere to the Baha'i faith, and so many other non-Christian belief systems. That being the case, listen, we live in a place where the world is actually sending their young adults to our city. People throughout the world. They are sending their kids to us. We don't necessarily have to go to them. They're sending them to us. Isn't that beautiful? We can do world missions right here in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas every night of the week. It would cost you the amount of gas that it took you to drive down there and back. Furthermore, we live in a city which is filled with over 800,000 people. And listen, we all know about the horrible traffic in this city, right? Anybody not know about it? Anybody not know about the traffic? No? We all know about the traffic, right? Some of you guys were upset on your way here tonight, right? You know when the best time to drive around Austin is? Sunday morning. There's no traffic Sunday morning. 800,000 people in this city and no traffic Sunday morning. Why is that? I wonder why that is. Why would it be? That in a city that constantly has traffic problems, because we don't have loops, and loops really, and I could just go into the whole thing. But anyway, I won't get on that soapbox tonight. But Sunday morning, no traffic. You know why?
Nobody's going to church.
Church. It's a non-event here in Austin, Texas. If you know anything about Austin, you know that we live in a very, very liberal city. Even many who claim to be Christian are very, very liberal in their theology, which means that there's many who claim to be Christian who don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, they don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, and yet they call themselves Christians. That's the kind of city we live in. And what this means is this, that when we go to work, we're surrounded by New Agers and mystics and atheists and agnostics and those with liberal theology, and we're surrounded by these people. When we go to the grocery store or when we go to the mall to get an outfit or something, you know, or we find ourselves face to face with those who are rejecting the Savior, who is the only one that can actually save them from the wrath of God. We're surrounded with these people. Now, as we consider this incredible mission field that we live in, I want you to understand that the Lord has actually given me a vision to reach the people, not on the other side of the world, though I want those people to be reached. But God has given me a vision for Austin, Texas, that we would reach the neighbor next door who worships a false god, that we would reach the coworker at our job who has embraced a bogus worldview. And while there are many wonderful missions out there, many wonderful ministries that we could spend our time supporting, I'm encouraging every person in this church to reach out to the people right here in Austin, Texas. Reach out to the people that you go to school with. Reach out to the people that you go to work with. Reach out to the people in your neighborhood. We should be reaching out to the unbelievers at work. We should be reaching out so that we can share our faith with the people that we meet whenever we go shopping. And with that being the case, every believer here in our church, we should be spending time learning how to witness. Because one of our hang-ups is that, well, I just don't know what to say, and I don't know how to answer questions. Well, then let's spend time getting equipped. That's the vision that God has given me for this church, that we would be a body of believers who spend time getting equipped so that we can make an impact. I would love to see traffic jams Sunday morning. But how is that going to happen if Christians are more interested in who's coming in the latest Christian concert rather than, let's go out and talk to unbelievers and lead them to Jesus? One way that we can get equipped, and this is a shameless plug, but we are having an evangelism training class on Thursday, February the 28th, the end of this month. Reuben and I will be sharing with you different ways that we can share our faith with unbelievers. And we're doing that because we're gearing up to put First Thursday back on the calendar. The first Thursday in March, we're going to head out and begin to do evangelism. So I encourage you to commit yourself to attending the first Thursday outreach, which begins the first Thursday in March. And before you come out, attend February 28th. Show up for that evangelism class, so that you're a little bit more prepared for the outreach that we're going to do on the first Thursday in March. But I want to see our church making an impact on our community. And from there, as we accomplish that, the Lord's going to open up other doors to reach out beyond our city limits, of course. But we have a city filled with unbelievers. And I can't even tell you how many times I've met people who have never really heard the gospel message. I can't even tell you how many times. You would think that here in America, everyone's heard the gospel message, and yet I constantly come across people here in Austin, Texas, who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel message. So we have to see our community as being largely unreached. And who's going to do it? Who's going to reach out to these unbelievers? Who's going to share the love of Jesus Christ with them, if not us? So that's my vision for this church, that we would be a church that's reaching out right here in our city. Well, the Lord has not only given me a vision to teach the Bible line upon line and verse upon verse, and not only has He given me a vision for a church that is reaching out to our community through compassionate evangelism, but the Lord has also given me a vision to lead the people of this church into acts of spiritual service. And some of the ministries that the Lord is calling us to offer here at this church so that we can all take part in serving the Lord, some of these ministries include the worship ministry, the hospitality ministry that has set up all the food back there that we're going to enjoy after this service. They also help out when a lady is pregnant and needs help, you know, with food at home. Our hospitality ministry comes along and prepares dinners for that family. Or when someone is sick in the hospital and they need some help, you know, in food prep for at home again, then the hospitality ministry helps out with that, and they have a little calendar that people can dial into when they're going to serve and help out. So there's that hospitality ministry, which has been such a blessing to so many families here. We have our media ministry that not only takes care of the media for the services, but we also do film competitions and radio shows and television shows and, you know, the websites, and there's so much to do, and there's so many people who are gifted in these areas, and there's an outlet to serve in the media ministry. We also we have a cleaning and a maintenance crew. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know about media or hospitality, I can't cook and I can't, you know, do these sorts of things. Well, we have a crew that shows up and cleans the building and prepares it before services. We have a crew that takes care of, you know, the things that break around here and they repair stuff. And so if you're good in that way, then you ought to find out who's leading these ministries and see what you can do about serving. We have the children's ministry. We have a youth ministry. So if you're interested in equipping kids to understand the gospel message and you want to learn about teaching, then we have opportunities in the children's ministry and the youth ministry. We have the greeting ministry and the ushering ministry. Now, how hard is that to just show up and say, hi, welcome to Calvary South Austin, here's a bulletin? I mean, that's just easy peasy. Anybody can do that. Anybody can, well, not anybody can usher, because clearly that's a special breed of no, I'm kidding. It's just, you know, there's a seat over there, you know. It's simple stuff that you can do. We have a bookstore ministry that you can help out there in the bookstore. Without debate, there are many opportunities to serve the Lord right here at Calvary South Austin. And listen, as all of the current opportunities are filled up, there are many more opportunities that will present themselves. For example, I mean, eventually I'd love to see a prison ministry happening in this church where we're reaching out to all the prisons in the area. Or how about, you know, I know I've talked about it at least 2 years now, the daycare center that we're gearing up for. So, you know, Brenda has gone through all the classes that she needs to go through. She's halfway through 1 year of on-the-job training that the state is requiring of her. So hopefully it could be a year from now that we'll finally have all the credentials and everything up to speed in the building so that we can finally start the daycare center. So there's going to be opportunities to serve with that. There is, you know, the future that we want to present theology classes for homeschool kids, an after-school program at Crockett High School. Now, I was talking about doing ministry at Crockett High School a year ago, and next Tuesday, they'll be voting on whether or not I can be on the board of advisors there at Crockett's. And it looks like I'm actually going to be accepted by what I've been told so far. But chances are I'm going to have my foot completely in the door. And I've got a big foot, so, you know. But I should be serving on the board of advisors at Crockett High School as of next Tuesday, which means that I'm going to be able to have a say in what's happening there on the campus. And you better believe that I'm going to be saying, hey, what about a Bible study after school, you know, or during lunch or something of that nature. So, you know, that's something that the Lord's put on my heart, and now we're seeing the doors open for that. Simply put, not to just belabor, you can go back and listen to last year's study and the year before that, where I go into a lot more detail about a lot of the things that is still future tense, like schools for, you know, preschool through high school, a Bible college in the area, and all these sorts of things. But I'm here to tell you, there's no shortage of opportunities to serve the Lord here at Calvary South Austin. No shortage of opportunities. With that being the case, everyone should be serving. It's not like we're sitting around going, yeah, we just don't have enough ministry opportunities for people. There's like hundreds of people just sitting around just doing nothing because there's just no opportunities for them. No. There are plenty of opportunities for everyone to take part in the ministry here. That being the case, the question I have for you is this. What has the Lord gifted you to do? And what is the Lord calling you to do here at our church? Now, with this in mind, look with me there at Romans chapter 12. I think I told you to turn there about 30 minutes ago. Look with me there at Romans 12. I want to begin reading at verse 3. There Paul declares, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you." Notice that. He doesn't say, to those who are super spiritual. I'm writing this to most of you. Those who are the true believers. He's saying, to everyone who is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, what does he mean? Hey, don't think so much of yourself. What's the context of that? He's saying, hey, everyone, quit thinking so much of yourself. Don't think so highly of yourself. Well, for what end? Well, look there at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Hey, don't think so highly of yourself. God's given us all gifts. Now let's use them. Or in other words, let's serve one another. Don't show up to church thinking that you're the one who gets to be served while you're here and everyone else can serve you. No. Paul's saying every one of you show up and use the gifts that God has given you. They're in the middle of verse 6. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. When you show up to church, don't just show up to church and think that everybody is here to serve you. Don't think that highly of yourself. You show up ready to use your gifts to bless other people. You see, the Lord has given every Christian spiritual gifts. And based on these gifts, the Lord is calling us to fulfill all the different functions within our church. And he likens the church to a body. This church is like a body. And if there's some parts of the body that don't work, we call that paralyzed. And Paul's saying, I don't want any part of the spiritual body of Christ to be paralyzed. And so show up and do your thing. Do what you've been gifted to do. We must all do our part in order for this to be a fully functioning body. It's for this reason that Paul encourages the Christians in Rome there in verse 6 that they should be using the gifts that they've been given. And in the same way, I'm encouraging everyone here tonight, everyone, every Christian here tonight should be using the gifts that God has given them by serving one another in one of the ministry opportunities that's found right here in the church. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then you need to go through the Ignite Spiritual Gifts series. That's online, or you can purchase it in the bookstore. It's free online. It's just there. You can listen to the whole thing. And it'll help you to understand what your spiritual gifts are. Then with an understanding of what your spiritual gifts are, then you can start looking at the ministries in the church and figuring out which one actually lines up with your spiritual gifts. And then you plug in. And then you begin to serve. And then this area of the body that was previously paralyzed now is fully functioning. This is the vision that I have for this church. I'm encouraging everyone here tonight to use those gifts that God has given them to serve one another within the context of this ministry. And while this might seem like a frightening step to take, some of you are like, I don't want to, you know, some of you guys are like, man, I'd love some people to help me out. I'm serving way too much. That's some of us. But others of us are like, I don't know, I'd hate to mess up someone's life by doing something wrong. You're not that powerful. Most of us are already really messed up anyway. Those of us who don't think we're messed up, you're the most messed up of all. I'm all right. I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. Anyway. You can't mess up someone's life that bad. Especially if you're just stepping out in faith and using the gifts that God has given you to serve the people of God as He instructed you to do. So what's there to fear? And yet, too many of us, it's too frightening for us to imagine that we would step out in faith and do what God is telling us to do. Now, with this in mind, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, I should point out that the life of the believer should be a life that is marked by their faith in Jesus Christ. Not their fear of what Jesus Christ said. Not their fear of what the Lord is telling us to do, but their faith in what the Lord said. That's what a believer's life should look like. It's a person who says, I believe that what Jesus says is right, and I'm going to align my life to that. That's the mark of a true believer. And while most people are more comfortable with kind of rolling out this five-year plan, and if it doesn't fit into the five-year plan, then it's outside of the plan, and so I can't do anything that doesn't fit into my little finite plan of what makes sense over the next 5 years and all this kind of stuff that the world has told us to think. I just don't even buy any of that. Most of us, we want a firm grasp on what tomorrow holds. And I'm just telling you to trust in the one who holds tomorrow. And be ready to do whatever He's calling you to do, even if it doesn't fit into your little finite understanding of how the world's supposed to work for you. The Lord has given us a spiritual vision which has everything to do with walking by faith. And with this in mind, look with me there at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 7. Actually, I'm just going to read verse 7. And this is what Paul says there. He says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the word sight here in this context, it speaks of that which is seen with the eyes or even perceived with the mind. And so what Paul is telling us here is that the one who walks by faith with the Lord isn't focused on what they can see with their finite eyes. If you're walking by faith with the Lord, then you're not really saying, oh, what I can see in front of me is going to hinder me from doing what God commanded me to do, so I'm not going to do it. Well, that's walking by sight. Walking by faith, you say, well, this is going to be difficult, but I know what the Lord told me to do, and I'm going to believe that what He said is right, and even if I see problems in my way, I'm going to go ahead and obey and do what He told me to do, because that's walking by faith. Now, which one are you? Do you allow what you can see in front of you to keep you from walking by faith and doing what God told you to do? Or do you just do what God told you to do because it's the right thing to do, even if it looks like there's going to be some barriers and some blocks that keep you from moving forward? Paul's telling us here that we need to stop focusing our eyes and even our mind on those things that might hinder us. And we just need to go for it and step out in faith. True believers are those who are completely committed to living according to the truths of God's word, even if what they see in front of them tells them to do anything else but that. That being the case, it's my vision for every believer, everyone here at Calvary South Austin, to commit themselves to serving one another within one of the many ministry opportunities that are found here in the church. And it's my hope that every Christian here in our church will begin to fulfill their function by serving the Lord with the spiritual gifts that they've been given. Now, I realize that this might be scary. It might be really scary for some of us. Maybe we've never served before and we don't know what to expect. Or maybe we have served before and we know exactly what to expect. It's going to be hard. So I realize that it might be scary for some of us, but I want to remind you that the Lord is calling us to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, in order to help us accomplish this calling, if you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And as you turn to Colossians 3, we should take a moment to understand that those who choose to walk in disobedience, those who choose to disobey the Lord by refusing to fulfill their spiritual function within the church, they're typically walking by fear and not by faith. What this means is that the person who fails to walk by faith with the Lord, they're too busy actually setting their sights on all of those things that might make them afraid or might keep them from moving forward. And they've got all these reasons for why they can't, right? Well, it's the job, or well, it's the family, or well, it's this, or well, it's that. They've got all the reasons in the world for why they can't. And they use those. They hold these up in front of them, and they allow these things to block them from taking the next step of faith. They're focused on the things that they're afraid of, rather than focusing on the Lord. Therefore, in order to accomplish the vision that the Lord has given me for this church, we must get our eyes off of those things that fill our hearts with fear, and we need to seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. And with this in mind, look with me there at Colossians 3. I want to begin reading at verse 1. There Paul declares, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Here's what Paul is saying here. Stop focusing on everything in this world. Stop setting your mind, stop setting your eyes, stop setting your focus on all the things in this world that would keep you from accomplishing God's will. Stop giving all of your attention to all of the reasons why you can't do what God is telling you to do. And set your eyes and set your mind, set your face towards Christ. Set your mind on the things above where Christ is seated. Then you can see clearly. If you're not focused on Christ, then you can't see clearly. And so many of us can set our minds on the things of this world and all the reasons why we can't. And our vision, our spiritual vision, is so cloudy that we can't see straight. But then we go off and make all these decisions for our life. What we can do, what we can't do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Based on what? It's like getting in your car on a morning that it froze over in the night and there's all kinds of ice on your windshield. And rather than scraping the ice off the windshield, you go, "Oh, well." You throw it in the drive and you start driving. Or you just sit there. "I can't go anywhere. I can't see anything." So you either end up paralyzed or you end up getting into a car crash because you can't see. When we set our mind on the things above, when we set our mind on Christ, it's like getting out that ice scraper and clearing off the window. Now we can see clearly. Now we know exactly how to get where we need to go. Some of us need to scrape the ice of this world from our eyes. Some of us need to get our focus where it belongs so that we can see clearly the vision that God has for our life. And I'm here to tell you that that vision includes serving the Lord in your church according to the gifts that He's given you. Period. You might not like to hear it, but that's what the Bible says. And that's the vision he's given me for this church. And so my encouragement to every believer here is to find out what your spiritual gifts are and then step up and serve the Lord by serving one another. If you want help with how to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, then the leaders of this church would love to help you with that. If you need to understand what are the ministry opportunities here in this church, then the leaders of this church want to help you with that. But the fact remains the same. The Lord is calling us to serve. Before Jesus was crucified, before he died for our sins, he washed his disciples' feet. And then he said, just like I've done, so should you. He served his disciples by washing their feet. He took the lowliest job that anyone could ever have, to wash another person's feet. And he did it as an example to us, because he wants us to serve one another, even if it's the lowliest job, which of course is youth pastor. But seriously, my vision for this church is that we would be a fellowship of believers who are serving one another with the love of Jesus Christ. And as we serve one another, the Lord is going to increase our desire and our passion to serve him. And next thing you know, we're going to be reaching out to the world and demonstrating to them what the love of Jesus Christ actually looks like. Because the love of Jesus Christ looks like people who serve one another. By his power and all for his glory, I know that this is the church that the Lord has put me in. And the Lord has brought you here to hear this message. And now I encourage you not to just be hearers of the word, but doers also, to the glory of God. Let's pray.